This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I am your host, Jason Bishop. Virus-free-ish.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. No Trixie.
Yeah. No Trixie, yeah. So maybe cold virus, but not like super make you insane, crazy psychopath, killer virus.
That nasty cold I had about a month ago, that cough is still kind of hanging in there. Just touches of it.
But at least we know that's what you're sick of, not something that you're going to kill us from.
Although I'm sure
that you're aware.
At the worst point of that, he probably felt like killing somebody.
But. Oh, for sure. No. If Jason kills us, it's because he's just mad at us.
Yeah, pissing him off is probably not a good idea.
It's not going to be some virus. He'll be completely aware of what he's doing.
And my co-host and future victim, Trish Coughlin.
Hey, everybody. I'm not going down without a fight.
And possibly my accomplice, Sam Stepanenko.
I saw something saying that we would be accomplices. Actually, there's a whole serial killer thing. And I think it said that we would go out for beers together.
Probably.
You'd be the serial killer and I'd be going out for beers with you. So I guess it's true.
There you go.
I didn't take this test.
I didn't either. Oh, God, I am the victim.
Yeah.
What does this quiz think of me?
Wait, can
That's
I get
the terrible things?
Can I be the magical one that just happens to get away?
The final girl?
Yeah.
I know. Find the quiz. The only reason I knew that it was that was the end result was because I know when Jay's birthday is. I don't know when yours is, I'm afraid.
No, early June.
Did we miss it?
Yeah, but well, it's not, fine.
No,
I
we gifted
it.
Her airplane.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we did.
Airplane was for me.
Yeah.
That was entirely accidental on my part. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, thank you for the gift that you didn't know you gave me.
Have you ever taken one of those, like, would you survive a horror movie or a zombie apocalypse thing?
Oh, yeah. I only get so far and then I'm dead.
I usually make it to the roll of the credits. Or at least 5 minutes before the credits. I usually make it through at least 90% of the movie, if not to the end, which tells you what kind of expert horror fan that I am at this point and the decisions I'm going to make. Yeah, I'm leaving your ass behind.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, I haven't. Now I want to.
No, we need to take those tests. We have to find out. Because, yeah, people in movies apparently have never seen movies.
Mm-hmm. Although I have not done a viral outbreak quiz. Zombies are different. And this one in particular is not a zombie movie. It's kind of... It's a crazy movie. It's because it's called The Crazies. Yeah. And much like one of the more contemporary versions outside of the remake we're going to talk about, which is 28 Days Later?
28 Days Later, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's similar to.
Yeah, and where he's constantly saying it's not a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Until I actually heard him in an interview say it's a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Finally busted him.
Nice.
And it took over a decade, but he finally did it.
Yeah. And even in the Resident Evil movies, too. I mean, they're really virus movies where they turn into zombies.
This is also very Resident Evil.
Generally, most zombies are viral, so...
Yeah. It catches on, and then it just takes over. So, yeah, essentially.
Yeah. And... I don't know, when you have a man like George A. Romero directing your movie and then tell everybody it's not a zombie movie, I don't know how much they're going to believe you.
Not very much.
Not very much.
Well, you know what? After watching his movie, I believe him because there weren't very many infected people in the movie.
No, certainly not within the associations you would have with those Living Dead movies.
Yeah.
This one in particular... The way people react to the virus, you don't actually see.
Yeah.
In fact, and a lot of times it's kind of ambiguous. Are they being crazy or is it because of the reaction of this military complex descending on this town to contain this outbreak?
Well, when you think about it, here's the weird flip. Like if for a George A. Romero movie, you have the zombies, these faceless, sort of shuffling, kind of mindless drones. And then in this movie, you have the guys all in the gas mask and the hazmat suits, all interchangeable, all just blindly following orders. which ones are the zombies, to
yeah,
be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the original Night of the Living Dead was very much an us versus them kind of film.
Mm-hmm.
And so is this, his original Crazies from 1973 is very much an us versus them film. They kind of do away with that somewhat. Most of that is actually tossed into the background of the remake.
Mm-hmm.
And
to
still
its betterment,
works.
I think.
Well, it's still like it still kind of happens where the military is trying to contain it, but it's all mm-hmm. from the viewpoint of the people from this
within.
Town within the town and reacting to what is going on.
And
so,
somewhat the scientist.
More grounded and less complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it worked. I found that it worked better. I found the way that Romero's film was put together, I found it distracting. I was waiting mm-hmm. for more of the crazies, which we got in the remake, mm-hmm. and less of the military jibber-jabber.
It
got
a little much. There's a lot of jibber-jabber for unexperienced actors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In some cases, this was their only film.
Yeah, very few pure professionals.
Yeah. Foreign, actually, this one was a union shoot. I'm sure he didn't pay union dollars because this movie only had a budget of $275,000.
Oh yeah, no.
Then $275,000.
I mean, yeah, and you've got people in gas masks, like their faces aren't there. Like, is it a real speaking role if you don't know who's speaking?
Well, that and a lot of that is true because a lot of those guys behind those masks were just people from the high school, kids from the high school mm-hmm. in the town they shot in Pennsylvania, I think it was.
Yeah, I think
where
so.
Where they actually shot. And then they were just dubbed over.
Mm-hmm.
And there was extensive audio work on this film. Out of its $275,000 budget, it box officed $143,700.
Yeah, and
that's because of shitty distribution.
And promotion, yeah.
Yeah, it just didn't get out there. It was kind of a touring film and didn't get to a lot of venues. I mean, if it just had even a weekend wide release, mm-hmm. it would have totally been fine.
Yeah, you just see George Romero's name on it. People have gone to see it just because of that, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, in 73, I mean, he was probably a big deal. He could deliver on tiny budgets.
Yep.
And I think it was a small... I'd never even heard of the movie until the remake happened.
Me too. That was how I found out. I'm like, oh, it's a remake. What?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Me too. But I mean, I'm not a huge follower of Romero's work. I know who he is and enjoy the films that I've seen, with the exception of the original Crazies. I will be honest, I did not enjoy it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the required rewrite to add in more of that military presence and more of that military dialogue caused the film to suffer.
Yeah, and that was at the request mm-hmm. of Paul McCullough, who wrote the initial script and took it to George Romero and said, hey, I will produce this movie for mm-hmm. you and finance this movie for you if you can expand on these aspects of this film.
And those are themes that George A. Romero, that's what he kind of deals with, is like
oh, sure.
the human cost of such things and how like sort of the military complex can get out of hand if it's like the wrong situation and how things can go bad really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and how unprepared they actually were for something like this because it was an accident that they caused.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that they still addressed that in the remake, but it was much more subtle. Right? Mm-hmm. You still got this mm-hmm. that sense that the military was truly the bad guy. And it was nice because what I did like about both films was you had – it was sort of like an us versus them
yeah.
kind mm-hmm. of thing, right? Because you had the crazies, you had the uninfected people in you, and then you had the military to add to that
mm-hmm.
that triumvirate of animosity.
I would say mm-hmm. there's a fourth one in the original where you have the scientist guy who is one of the guys who helped develop it, and he is not on board with a whole bunch of this shit.
Yeah.
No, and boy, did he, that actor, bring it.
I loved him in that. I'm sorry.
He was favorite
good.
Part of the whole movie.
He was the best part.
He was so bad. He was awesome because he shouted every line.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you pull them up against a bunch of other people in the movie... He was doing pretty good.
Hey, actually, one of my favorite 70s horror actresses.
Oh, yeah, Lynn
Queen,
Lowry?
Lynn Lowry.
She's great in it.
This is probably pretty early in her career because it's before Shivers.
I think it's about her second or third, and that's it.
Yeah. In fact, when I was watching it, I'm like, wait a minute, is that the chick from Shivers? And went back into my IMDb. I'm like, it is.
Mm-hmm.
She's barely 18, I think, and
she's
just
young.
Pushing 20, maybe. She
yeah,
looks
no,
even
she's
even younger in that than she did in.
She
Sugar.
Looks really
oh, yeah,
young,
she
but I think
like
she's at least in her 20s,
or 16, yeah. Right? Like she looks like a teenage girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's one of those women that just remained young for so long. You yeah. just never knew.
Did you catch her cameo in the remake?
Yeah.
I did not.
You did not?
I did
oh,
not.
Well, Trish, why don't you tell them where she was?
She's the lady on the bike.
That's
riding
right.
through town.
The oh. empty town that rides around the sheriff.
La, la, la.
Yeah.
I did not catch
singing,
that.
Singing, singing, singing.
Yep. Well, she looked a lot older.
Oh, well, I'm guessing. Yeah, yeah. I'd be impressed if she didn't.
And you don't get a real close-up on her.
She's still going.
Yep.
She's,
oh, yeah.
I think I was looking at her IMDb in the 80s or 90s yeah. there. She took about a 10-year break, but...
oh, the last 4 years
but
she's been doing...
Oh, she's been powering.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
And, you know, she's in her late 60s, get pushing 70 now, so...
Oh, she's pulling a Betty White.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. She is not going to die.
Well, now she can play these professor roles or whatever. And
yeah.
The informed person and mom
yeah.
roles.
Oh, exactly.
Roles.
Mom roles, grandma roles, wise woman roles.
Yeah, and when you're a horror scream queen, and you know the horror guys love to squeeze in their alumni as best
oh,
they can
sure.
in all their movies. So
they will bring you back.
Oh,
as
yeah,
they did.
They'll bring you back. The Crazies from 1973, the screenplay and director was George Romero. This starred Lane Carroll, Will McMillan. Lane Carroll was Judy in another big film of hers, just to show how big her career was, Hercules in New York.
Oh, nice.
Will McMillan had a little bit better. He was in The yeah. Enforcer, so he got to be in a movie with Clint Eastwood, so that's pretty awesome.
And he did a lot of TV work, too. He
yeah.
was working a lot.
Yeah, a lot of these guys were kind of survived off television. Harold Wayne Jones was Clank. Lloyd Holler was Colonel Peckman. Lynn Lowry, of course, who was Kathy. Richard Liberty was Artie. And Richard France really brought it as Dr. Watts.
Mm-hmm. And with a glorious, glorious beard.
Glorious yeah. beard, yeah.
Harry Spillman was Major Ryder. And I was trying to figure this out if he was related. Will Disney as Dr. Brookmeyer in his only screen credit.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I don't know if he's related to those Disneys.
I'm thinking of his face, and I'm like, maybe?
Maybe. You can kind of see it.
You can kind of see it if
cousin
you look at him.
Or something, maybe, yeah. 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 Now, every time we do one of these 70s films, one thing that always like sort of strikes me is the men in these movies are never gorgeous. They're average to slightly above average looking. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love the fact that they're not, they look like real people. They don't look like Hollywood stars.
I do like that. I wish they would extend that to the women. But I do say there was one thing I found really distracting with the lead. There's one moment where he's in the car and it's just the way it's lit. And I'm like, I just want to wax between his eyebrows. It's just one big, large eyebrow. And he could be a gorgeous man if you just got rid of that middle bit. Gave him two. I know it's weird and petty, but it distracted me. I couldn't hear what he was saying.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I mean, maybe it's just the 70s style as well, right? The hairstyle.
Oh, yeah, the hairstyle does a lot of it.
It does a lot of it. But yeah, I mean, neither of those guys are classically handsome. They're average to slightly above average looking.
But, you know, I think if you changed their hair, if you updated their style, it would be a very different look. And you would see more of, they would look different enough. You'd think, oh, I can see kind of a leading man-esque type of deal.
Possibly.
I don't know. Maybe that was just what the rugged in look was at the time.
Oh, true. Yeah. True.
It's entirely possible. But it's something that I've noticed is that they certainly don't, even cleaned up and their hairstyles changed, yeah. they wouldn't look like our typical Hollywood leading man now. There's no way.
Oh,
and
no,
I also kind
different.
Of like that they're not like the super cut. Like, I don't, sometimes I don't need that. I'm like, I just want like the kind of powerful, just regular looking dude.
Well, they look like they live in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what
not,
I like.
Not live in the world with a personal trainer and
a personal chef.
Chefs and people that pluck your eyebrows. Yeah.
And several thousand nutritionists, and they yeah. don't have anything to do but work out.
They look like people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And that was where I was going. That's the whole point I'm trying to make.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you.
Well, I'm going to run the trailer for the original Crazies, and we'll talk some more about the film, and we'll get into the remake along the way as well.
We never thought it would happen.
Nobody gets in or out of that town, though. Is that clear?
The girl just died.
How do you intend to let the people know about all this?
We were asleep. They dragged us right out of the house.
Are we under martial law?
Don't talk to me or anybody else unless you got a voice print check.
All hell's broke loose in town. Nobody knows what's going on.
Now look, you just can't push us around this way.
We've got to get a nuclear weapon in the air above that town.
Hey, what the hell's going on, Sheriff?
You know what I do, boy. Let's go.
I ain't taking me no place.
They started something they can't stop. The crazies.
There's
something that dements. Something that inflames. Something that brutalizes. It's madness unleashed by human error. The crazies. Can they tame it before time runs out?
I'm a key man on the Christie's team. A key man! I'm one of the developers of the goddamn thing.
Now, if you want me to get the job done, you get me the stuff I need, and you get it the hell in here before the morning's over.
A small town becomes a giant stockade. Heaven City must be contained or leveled.
We're all concerned with Heaven City, Mr. Hawks.
If we have to push the button, would you say the weapon went off?
Get me the president.
People are trapped by an unknown enemy. Five are on the run. Can they escape the spreading fury of the crazies?
You can make it. I know it.
David! They're coming, David! They're coming.
We gotta get out of here.
Jesus, man.
Then I want a weapon search for the entire town.
Watch it, Buggy!
This is exactly the kind of thing we're trying to prevent.
A lethal terror snowballs into hell.
In there!
Madness runs rampant.
We'll dope it out. Sooner or later. Sooner or later.
The crazy.
All right, that was the crazies. This movie opened with two kids pranking each other, and mm-hmm. then their father was freaking out and destroying the house. Mm-hmm. So infected, the first infection of the virus. This leads to eventually the house bursting into flames.
Yeah, they go upstairs to find their mom dead. He's already killed the mom.
Yep.
And the floor is wet with kerosene.
Yes. The two kids at least make it to the hospital. But the main characters of Judy and David mm-hmm. are called into their prospective jobs because mm-hmm. of this fire and new injuries. Judy's a nurse and David is a fireman.
Mm-hmm. He's a volunteer firefighter.
He's a volunteer firefighter. And he doesn't seem to be in that much of a hurry.
Oh, it annoyed me.
Annoyed me. Yeah. Okay, you guys are emergency services. Nah, let's have some chit-chat, maybe talk about having some more sex.
Volunteer. They're not taking it too seriously.
No. They're there. We'll get there.
Although what's weird is when I'm looking at this this town's number of firefighters, they have a lot more firefighters. I can see why he wasn't in such a hurry.
I'm guessing the whole town is a volunteer. If you're male, you're a firefighter.
Yeah, like they have a lot of guys. Like in the town the size of the one where I grew up, I don't think there were that many firefighters.
Right. I mean, 3,600 people is not it's not a small community. Well, but there are much smaller communities. But yeah, the size of their firefighting force was way out of proportion to the number of people who lived in that town.
Yeah.
Because they had like three or four fire trucks and mm-hmm. 20 or 30 firefighters. It was insane.
Like they were so prepared for fire, but completely unprepared for like sick people. Yeah. They had one doctor and one nurse and like 40 firefighters.
I have a question. What the fuck was the chief of police doing ordering around the firefighters?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Good question.
Because it bugged me, right?
Maybe he was the honorary fire chief. They just doubled up.
I don't know, but he annoyed me. I like he just came across as a dick, and I... It wasn't sad when he died.
Well, this is George Romero. Authority figures will show up as dicks.
Yeah.
That's true. Which is 90% of the people in this movie.
Yeah, yes. It is.
Yeah. Except for the colonel.
Mm-hmm.
He actually had his shit together, but he was being thrust in an uncontrolled situation and basically trying to put out fires, and he knew he was expendable.
He was shoved in like a kind of an unwinnable situation because he's like, oh my God, I'm surrounded by morons and nobody's paying attention.
Yeah, pretty much. And he wasn't getting cooperation from his leadership either, right? Like, he was trying to get direction and support and supplies and more troops, and nothing was coming.
Well, and they're resisting, like, oh, okay, well, they want to hit the panic button. They actually want to nuke this freaking town so to keep the outbreak from going out, but they don't want to commit more troops.
Nope.
And it's a freaking disaster. It's their fault in the first place. And they didn't seem to be wholly unwilling to contain it with minimal casualties. And, I mean, the people they're bringing in, I'm like, if they're military, they have no scruples whatsoever. They're beating people up, shooting them outright, even if they're given the order to shoot anybody who resists. So this military force is coming in, not telling anybody anything.
Nope.
And they're looting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The first scene where you saw one of the guys looting a corpse, you're like, oh, that's just awful.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Pulling money out of their wallets and...
See, and this is the other thing I'm thinking, too, is if there's something really contagious in the town and they're taking, like, their belongings. No, that gets burned with them. Everything burns. They should have said that. They're like, dude, if we catch any of our military taking their shit, we will shoot you because you will be infected.
Yeah. Well, that guy that takes two fishing rods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think the colonel should have been clear about that. If you catch any of the guys taking their stuff, shoot them because we don't know if they're infected.
Yeah,
that would have added a really interesting element to the film, actually, if they'd have gone that direction.
They should have. Like, this guy, I can tell, like, the colonel probably thought better of it, but didn't. I don't know. Maybe he thought his troops were too good. Didn't think about it, but he should have.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all, like, and I think these are all, like, people who maybe just got out of basic training. Like, they're not sending their best. They're sending the lowest of the low in case they have to nuke the place. That's the other problem.
Well, yeah, they're sending in
the most expendable.
Fully expendable people, yeah.
So that's why it just completely falls apart.
Their plane crashes in the town reservoir, and that's how everybody gets infected. And I do believe it does become airborne fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Yes. In both films, it did become airborne fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole vaccine backstory, side story that's introduced, like, right at the very beginning when Judy first shows up at the doctor's office, kind of felt forced to me, right? Because it didn't really go anywhere. It's like, well, here's this vaccine that we know isn't going to do any good.
Yeah, people are fighting over it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point. You have to just convince them that this is what's going to help, and then they'll go out and do their job.
Yeah.
That's a big lie. That's how they get them to do what they want.
Yeah, they ship in all this vaccine, but not enough for the whole town. And the doctor, I don't want to call him Dr. Disney, Dr. Brookmeyer. Dr. Brookmeyer.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just call him Dr. Disney.
Dr. Disney, sure.
I like it.
Yep.
So Dr. Disney, he tells his nurse, like, she's pregnant and doesn't want her around. Like, what can you do here? Go find David and get the hell out of here.
And when you're pregnant, I don't think he gives you the shot. You can't give a vaccination.
Yeah. So she steals, some of the vaccines and...
A couple syringes
and hightails it out of there. And Dr. Disney knows shit's going down and shit's going to go bad real fast.
Yeah, he's by far the smartest character in the whole movie.
Yeah.
He's the only one who seems to comprehend the consequences of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, even our sort of heroic hero and heroine don't really seem to comprehend it until later in the movie.
Yeah, well, they're kind of flying blind, but I think the doctor's probably seen some crap in his life.
Well, and so is David. I mean, he's the town's first and only Green Beret. Remember? That's a very distinct line in the movie, is that he's... Mm-hmm. He's military trained and he's sort of the elite of the elite too, right?
Yeah.
So he's not clueless. Right? He's very competent in the field and on the ground, but he's not very good at putting pieces together until, like, they're kind of shown to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I mean, here's the thing. He doesn't know what it is. Rolling through his head is like, is it an invasion? Is it an exercise? What's going on? Because if you don't have all the information, you don't know exactly what the military is trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, and that was where Judy came in, is because she had some of those key details, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, they do figure it out, but it just seems like they're a little slow to figure out what's really going on. Right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's part of the whole process of the movie, though, right? Which is probably one of the reasons I didn't really like it very much, is it just took a long time to get nowhere.
You know, for a biological weapon, see, like, what was this weapon designed to do? They initially said it was to destabilize
a population.
Okay, fine. You can certainly see how that would happen. But how do you develop a certain virus? What does it actually do from a scientific standpoint? Like, what synapses is it firing off to throw them to do what? Act crazy and ride a bike as versus kill your family. Like, how is this virus reacting to it? And it basically says you're going to go insane or die in 2 days if you have the virus.
Well, I mean, the brain's a real fun thing. So you can't tell how anybody will react to anything. Like, I mean, you could have, like, schizophrenia be really violent or schizophrenia and just not do anything. Like, there's two ways to do this. There's, like, yeah, and depressive people, how they react to it is also very different. All medications are different in the brain. So, you can't really figure it out.
Yeah, I should have called a neurologist.
Yeah.
Do you know one?
No.
No. But yeah, so like I think it would probably destabilize the brain in a certain way as, I don't know, it just makes things fire differently.
Well, it sounds like
the wrong hormones get released.
Disabled the impulse control sections of the brain.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh yeah, because, right. Oh, imagine drunk people. Yeah. Some are violent. Some laugh at everything. Some go crazy. So maybe it is probably just like being so hammered, but able to function, sort of, with your physicality.
Well, like those hunters in the remake.
Yeah.
You know, they just kept hunting.
Yeah. But they're hunting people.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the most dangerous game.
See, you know what? I almost wonder if they weren't really crazies, because they didn't look like a crazy. They were pretty normal.
They didn't
Near
react.
The end, they did.
Yeah, yeah. They certainly looked infected, but they were still tactical in their approach to killing people.
Yeah.
They were trying to herd Judy.
And they didn't kill each other.
And they weren't killing each other. They weren't attacking each other. I mean, their truck was just loaded with bodies.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, the first time you see them, they didn't come across as crazy. They came across as just sick motherfuckers
who
were capitalizing on the chaos to finally give into that impulse to kill people.
See, and that's what I think. I think that's the whole thing. Maybe it is. It just shuts off all impulse control. Yeah. All the controls that keep you decent member of society are gone.
Yeah, they're the ones who initially find the body in the marsh.
Yes.
They were infected right at the beginning.
But they were also the ones that would have had to report it. Otherwise, how did the sheriff know to go out there?
And they did report it.
Yeah.
They did report it. I mean, that's the thing.
If you're going to go on a killing spree, do you report a body? I guess if you're going to have that.
They didn't know they were going to go on a killing spree.
Yeah, right. And I mean, the sheriff gave them shit too, right? Like, he says, guns away until hunting season, because they were hunting illegally, right?
Yeah, they knew they'd get in trouble, but they're like, this is the sheriff, he'll give us a talking to, but he won't go overboard, right? They knew that.
So based on the fact that they did the right thing when they found the body, maybe they already were crazy. But yeah, when you see them that first sort of like killing spree they go on, they didn't seem like they were infected. They seemed like they were just...
And that brings me to a question that I had about the original film. Who are the crazy ones, really? Is it the infected that they call crazy when they go crazy? Or is it the way the military's reacting and looting and being really completely irresponsible with this accident that they caused? Or is it the town reacting to this invasion? I mean, there's a lot of crazy happening from a lot of different angles.
Oh, yeah. Like,
there's no sanity.
No. I mean, whether it was virally caused or not, there's no sanity.
And can I add in the person who thought a biological weapon is a good idea in the first fucking place?
Good point. But I think that, at least in the original movie, I think that the crazies refers to everybody in the movie.
Yeah.
Because in the original movie, you didn't see a lot of infected people, right? Like, I mean, when it comes right down to it, considering the movie's about an infected populace, you don't see a lot of the infected populace. They're kind of... sort of, it's hinted at and suggested at, and they kind of see them getting sort of sequestered away, but you don't see them a lot, right? I mean, aside from the
room in the high school is where you see the most of them.
Yeah, and it's, and again, it's, they're, and they're brief glimpses, right?
Like they act like a room full of children for the most part.
Many of them were children.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So, but yeah, the only actual interactions you have with the infected people, we're not going to call them crazies anymore because of Jay's very astute observation, is our group of heroes who are trying to sort of make their way out of town is their few interactions with them, right? And even then, it's very few. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I think their only interactions with infected people are the two people who are infected in their party.
Yeah.
All of their interactions are with the military.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Well, there are eventually three infected people in the party only. Well, four. All of them are infected except for the one guy, really, at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah, ultimately you're right. Everybody in the party does become infected except for David because he's immune. And I love that little twist at the end.
Oh, yeah.
The twist at the end was good.
Probably the best, the only part of the movie that really, really, like, that was really well
put together. They had just had this discussion about maybe we'll find somebody who's immune to this virus and we can create a real vaccine.
Yeah.
Because they had just lost a scientist who had who actually figured this out.
Yep.
And was trying to leave with this sample. The guards didn't know who he was, which drove me nuts. I'm like, how is it that you guys are guarding all these people sequestered in the? I'm like, why did you take him to the high school anyway, where you've put all the crazies? I guess that's where all the tests.
That's where the
chemistry lab was. Yeah. But the guards didn't know. He wasn't one of the crazy people, so he gets shoved around, drops his vials, and actually is basically thrown down the stairs and cracks his head and dies.
Yeah.
So, you know, we lose our doctor. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
And the samples.
And the samples are lost.
And it's like these guards, they should have had two guards on that chemistry door who were like, okay, the doctor has come out. And the only reason they should ever stop him is like, put on your damn gas mask. That should be why they should stop him, not because they think he's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well said. I wasn't entirely sad to see him die because he was somewhat annoying. I loved him, but he was annoying.
He had to shout everything.
And it's like every time he kept hanging up on the guys to do the fucking voice print again. And he's like, and he's getting mad because he has to do it again. Then quit fucking hanging up on them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. I was just waiting for somebody to be like, oh, you're here to take my voice print? Fine. Fuck you. Voice print accepted. That's what I would love to have. That's what I would do. Well, my voice print, here it is.
The expert that helped develop the virus in the first place, and they're just treating him like shit.
Yeah.
Well, and not just that, he's tried to explain to him, I need to be where my data is. I can't do shit here. Why the fuck am I here?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, even when they're taking him away, it's like our orders were to take the first person from the team who showed up. It's like, yeah, but I'm not a field person. Like, I can't help you in the field. He iterates it so many times.
Yeah.
And that was obviously a commentary by Romero on the single-mindedness of the military.
Yes.
Well, that brings up the zombie things. Orders are orders, sir. That guy says it like three or four times.
Yeah.
Talk about a zombie.
And I mean, because even a good soldier would call his CO and say,
yes,
I've got the guy. Here's what he's saying. Do we want to proceed with the original orders or do we need to modify them? Right. I mean, because a good soldier is taught to question those orders if there's doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, and if there's a really good reason, and he did have a good reason.
Yeah. Now back to Rat, because we didn't actually tell anybody what the twist was, which started on this whole role.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So David's finally caught again after losing everybody, and they bring him to the school with everybody else. And they just had this conversation about, like, oh, do you want to test him for immunity? What, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just take him away. They just take him away.
They were looking right at him. Like, no, of course he's nuts.
The answer they were looking for is right there.
Front of him.
Yeah.
He's not insane. He's not infected. He's been around infected people.
And then moments later, you get that thing from the colonel saying, yeah, they found a rhesus monkey that's showing signs of immunity.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with the monkey.
Yeah.
Not the guy standing in front of you.
Because, we know there's absolutely no biological.
Hopefully we'll find a human who has the same immunity, right?
And hopefully.
So, yeah.
there was one crazy in here I really liked because there was a lot of shooting going on. And then there's this lady sweeping
in the field. I couldn't get over that. Yeah, I loved it.
The sweeping lady was just amazing.
With a phenomenal pair of pants. I'm sorry. I love those. She's sweeping. She's wearing a great pair of pants. I'm like, she's awesome. Cast her in everything.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that.
We just need her sweeping in the most insane places.
In Thor. She's just sweeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously our bicycle riding lady in the remake was a sort of a tribute to our sweeping lady in the original, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Lynn Lowry. But yeah, that was so much fun. I thought that was great. She survived a lot longer than I thought she would with all the shooting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's just death and madness all over the place.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the funny part. Like, watching this show, I'm like going, yeah, you're in a rural town. There are guns everywhere, Mr. Military. And these are people who have probably been shooting them since they were in single digits. So
they're probably better shots than your trained soldiers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hunters and farmers.
So I can see why they took down so many of the military. Because after a while, I was like, why are they getting all these military guys? And then it dawned on me. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's probably why.
Mm-hmm. This is what happens when you arm your populace.
It's true. But I mean, like, they, yeah, as long, well, you arm your populace, but have them have licenses and make it reasonable.
We're not going to get into gun.
Yeah, we won't get into that.
That opens a whole nother can of worms.
But the thing is, most, like, a lot of these, they had rifles. They were hunting guns. That's mostly what they had.
Yeah, they weren't automatic or semi-automatic weapons or even handguns. There weren't a lot of handguns. It was hunting rifles for killing pests and hunting food, right?
Yeah, 22s and 3-06s.
Yeah. Practical weapons for practical people.
Exactly. Yeah, like that one farmhouse they come upon, and like the guy comes out, they shoot him, the mom comes out, they shoot him, and then the little kid comes out. I'm like, ah! I thought that was going to end badly.
It ended badly for most people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And in the 70s, you notice that they tend to be less sensitive than we are now. Like, I mean, because you had, at the very beginning of the movie, you had that one child die, which is something that
one died.
The little girl.
The little girl died.
Camera, and then the other one. Shortly after.
Yeah.
Well, no, they show the little girl. He's putting the blanket over her face.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. No. Yeah. But
she died in a fire.
Child deaths are quite uncommon in film now. We try to avoid.
I wouldn't say they were common then either.
No, but they certainly, they were a lot less afraid to touch on that on really sensitive subject matter. And there's that one scene that is probably the most disturbing scene in the whole movie, where Lynn Lowry's character is basically being raped by her father.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's got... they both have the virus.
Yeah, but...
Mm-hmm. She's just kind of spinny for the most part.
Yeah.
And, he's developing an unnatural attraction to his daughter, which... And the virus does kind of kick in and out at times. There are some points of lucidity. Yeah. And once he realizes what he's done, he hangs himself.
Yeah, which... And it's like with the other buddy, Clank, where he goes in and out, but there's moments where he's like, oh God, like he realizes.
Yeah. Well, when he shoots that room full of
military
in the hazmat suits in the house, they're just kind of having a coffee break essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And David breaks in, tries to get some answers. And just as he's getting answers, Clanker shoots them all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They weren't armed. They weren't being hostile.
The one guy did go for his gun, but that should have been the only shot.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a scene that directly correlates to that in the remake as well, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was
the one guy isn't this
where they flip over the where they're going to try and stop the truck so they can drive out
the truck that they were going to take.
But then he pulls out the spike belt, so he basically destroys
the truck that they're
means of
that
escape.
They need.
Yeah.
And then after while our hero's questioning him, his buddy shoots him. It's like, well,
I want him to talk. I'm like, he talked.
Yeah, but not all the talk I wanted.
I wanted more talk.
I need more information. They both kind of get their hero. Clank gets the hero moment at the end where they realize.
Yeah, they both have very similar endings where he has that, again, that moment of lucidity. He realizes he's done some things and, like, he's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to die anyhow,
Yeah, he's going to die anyhow because of this virus. So he can make those final moments matter and get his friends out by being a distraction for this guard station.
Yeah, and it's like, it's weird. It's those little bits where it's they talk about the crazies, and it's very, there's bits that's indicative of like mental illness where you realize that something's wrong. And it's that moment you realize something's wrong, but then the veil goes back down and you think you're thinking rationally, but you're not.
Yeah. So, yeah, he had that moment where he could be a distraction while the focus was on him. Mm-hmm. So his friends, Judy and David, could get around the station to the other side while everybody's distracted with him. So
yeah, and in the original, just he distracts them away so they can just get where
they
go.
Yeah, and they get over to the truck station. Where in the remake, they go to the truck station. In this one, it's a construction site.
I think
it's a construction site.
All sorts of good places to hide.
Yeah, so at that point, Judy's exhibiting signs symptoms as well, and he hides. I thought of like, oh, he's putting her in a brick cage. A weird place to hide her was just among the bricks and telling her to be quiet, like that's going to work when she's not
being focused.
Yeah, and his deliberate blind spot there to not acknowledge the fact that she had clearly been infected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so desperate to save her that he puts his own life at risk because...
Mm-hmm. And I do think they address that in the remake at the one point where Timothy Oliphant's talking to this one buddy and he's like, they took away my wife. And he's like, oh, they took away my wife. He's like, I got to go back for her. And Timothy Oliphant's like, I got to go back for her. And the one buddy's like, really? Isn't that like a fool's errand? Okay, you don't tell me that that's a fool's errand. And I'll ignore that you told me it was a fool's errand if I'll ignore that it's so easy for you to... take off on your wife.
Well, in the remake, that
I
was,
love that line.
Yeah, that was loved a great line. And but that does come back on him a little bit later, where they meet with who joins their party. It was Becca who joins the party that's rescued with his wife, and they pass a ranch where her boyfriend's at, and she runs to go up there. And she's like, we don't have time for this. And Judy's like, you had time for me.
Yeah. Exactly.
So. At that point, you're like, well, shit, can't argue with that.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Like, I love how in both movies it addresses that idea that there would be a blind spot. Someone you love so much, you can't possibly face that they might be infected and you might have to leave them.
Yeah. And those are those personal torturous situations where you can't face what the reality of that situation is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Timothy Olyphant is like really strangely optimistic in that whole movie. I'm like, dude, really? It's going to shit.
I mean, he's determined. He's even calm when he knows shit's going down. Like, internet's down, phone lines go down, self service goes down. He goes over to his deputy Russell, and it's like, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
yeah.
You do it right there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the point, like, we're in the truck stop where he's like, do you want to die? If you want to sit here and die, I'll sit here and die with you. It's like, but we got to keep going. Like, that's the optimism I'm talking about, is he'll just determinedly go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we didn't get a lot of backstory on him like we did with David in the original, because, I mean, there wasn't a lot of backstory, but you knew that David was a soldier and had that sort of experience. So...
Well, I think that's why they turned him into the town sheriff, because it's inherent in the character of just being that kind of authority figure. Yeah. And instead of a firefighter, now you don't have to have the military background because they're already trained.
They're already trained to a certain extent.
Because he's trained for that job.
But they give you kind of all the background of who he is as a person in his many interactions.
Yeah.
Like at one point, the principal's like, oh, the sheriff doesn't pay. And he's like, yeah, but the principal still has to pay his parking tickets. He's a very, his moral core is always there.
I love when the principal's like, hey, start a tab.
Exactly. But the thing is, like, he wouldn't be mad at that. He's like, yeah, no, I'll pay. You pay. That's just how it works, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, because he does have a very strong sense of right and wrong. But yeah, his calmness under pressure was where it was sort of going. It was like, why was he so calm under pressure? Because even your average small town sheriff is not going to be dealing with situations like this and is probably not going to be that calm.
Yeah.
In this type of situation, because he's calm the whole way through, even when he has his hand stabbed, which was another favorite scene that I just love. Like, there's lots of scenes that I love in this movie.
Well, let's run the trailer for that, so now we're getting into the remake, and we'll talk some more about that on the way after that.
I don't care what the calendar says. Opening day, that's the first day of spring.
What the hell are you doing?
Lori, you lay that gun down.
David, you did the right thing.
Would you mind taking a look at Bill?
Sure, what's wrong?
I don't know. He's just not right.
She worries too much. I'm fine.
You got any plans this weekend?
She worries too much. I'm fine.
Ben.
Stand to him. He has a knife.
How long has he been playing a statue?
A couple hours now. The same look Rory gave me.
Is he dead?
David, there's somebody outside.
The military started shooting town folk.
We gotta get out of here, guys!
You don't know that.
It's okay, I'm not sick.
Okay, that was The Crazies from 2010, the remake of the George Romero film. This was a screenplay by Ray Wright, who will probably come up again at some point because he wrote The Pulse, which was a remake. And Scott Kosar was also his co-writer on the screenplay. And he has got a couple of remakes on his resume as well. Some sins to answer for.
Oh, nice.
That we have not covered on the show yet. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the remake, and Amityville Horror, the remake. And he at least has made up for it with the excellent The Machinist from 2004.
Oh, okay.
So he wrote that as well. The director was Breck Eisner, who did the really underrated Sahara and the guilty pleasure of The Last Witch Hunter from 2015. Oh. The Vin Diesel vehicle that nobody saw. But I watched it on Netflix, and I'm like, this is stupid and kind of fun. But that is really Vin Diesel's career.
Yeah. Stupid and kind of fun.
Stupid and kind of fun.
Yeah. I just watched it not that long ago myself, and yes, I was the...
I really enjoyed it.
See, I tried, but I have a lot of other Vin Diesel movies I'll watch first. But speaking of Vin Diesel, who is in this movie?
What?
Because Pitch Black.
Oh, we got a connection through Pitch Black, yes.
Yeah.
That is... I don't know how to say her name.
Radha Mitchell?
Radha Mitchell. Okay. It's R-A-D-H-A, yeah. So I was guessing the H was silent. So, But, okay, Radha Mitchell, she was Judy. She was also in Pitch Black and Silent Hill. It always bugs me because I can tell she's covering up her Aussie accent.
Yeah.
It's unique to her. Like, it's not like she's doing a bad job, but I can always kind of hear it in there a little bit. Timothy Oliphant was David. Danielle Panabaker was Becca, and she's known to most people now as Caitlin Snow, aka Killer Frost, on the Flash TV show right now.
Woo-hoo.
And she has her own sin of another remake,
yep,
in the Friday the 13th remake from 2009. I was gonna mention that. So these guys are gonna come up again, and the almost unrecognizable Joe Anderson was Russell in this movie, who was incredible in Across the Universe and The Gray.
Yeah.
He's a pretty diverse actor. He's a really good actor, and you know, it's hard to think about it. I'm like, oh, that guy who was singing and was actually really good at it. Yeah. That was the dude in this movie? Really?
This is a good cast.
This is a very talented cast.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, rounded out by Christy Lynn Smith, Brett Rickaby, Preston Bailey, John Aylward, and Joe Regan. Fairly big cast, robust cast, but your core characters all went on and still have continued to have some really great careers, especially Timothy Oliphant with his television stuff.
Went back to Sheriffin.
I honestly think it was because of this movie. He kind of typecast himself.
To a certain extent, yes.
He's a good sheriff.
Did the urban, modern cowboy sheriff in the big city.
See, and I don't know if it was because I knew about Justified, that colored sort of, when you're talking about your interpretation of Timothy Oliphant, I had it in my head that he and his wife had come from the big city to go live in this small town.
And don't forget Deadwood.
Yeah, and Deadwood.
He just played cowboys in small towns.
Yeah, like that's sort of why I thought, like, when he was so calm and so capable, I sort of thought they moved there because they wanted to get away from all the chaos of being in a big city.
Yeah, I don't know if it was inferred, but it kind of was, like, because they had that big farm homestead kind of place too, like, so they didn't live in town, so obviously maybe they had an opportunity to inherit a farm, or they inherited the farm and said, you know what, let's do this. This is a great place to raise a family.
He's a small town sheriff because he was one of those renegade cops who would shoot first and ask questions later.
We're making a completely different movie now.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming that's his backstory because it's more fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And totally stereotypical.
Or he was in Gone in 60 Seconds and he didn't like that job because it was all the car chases and wanted to calm it down, so moved to the suburbs and small town.
Now, this actually didn't have a huge budget either, or certainly a lot bigger budget than the original. Mm-hmm. In 2010, had a budget of $20,000 or $20 million. $20,000 plus a whole bunch of millions.
Plus some more zeros.
Plus a bunch more zeros. So $20 million, and it grossed $43 million in the box office worldwide. So it certainly wasn't a huge success by any means. And you think budgeting advertising and stuff, it pretty much just broke even. But which is why we never had a second Crazies. Especially,
yeah.
And that was the same with George Romero. He had actually had another idea for a second Crazies movie, but the interest just wasn't there, and I think that continues to be true, apparently. Yes.
And at the end of this one, too, you could see where there's a second one's ready to go.
Yeah.
And
oh, sure.
I mean, they even said
but
it up.
But really, it would just been more of the same.
Yeah. Well, no, bigger. Maybe this is the city that they came from.
Bigger, I mean.
This is the city they came from, and now there's family there.
Yeah, because it was 100,000 people versus.
Yeah, they were going 3,000. To Cedar Rapids was where the movie ends, and of 120,000 people.
So. Yeah, and I mean, even at the end of the original, the Colonel was going to the next
another
outbreak,
place,
which was a major center.
That's right.
Because for some reason now he was experienced, and he's the whole time thinking, I'm experienced at running a crap
shit show.
They're
going to walk in this town, but they don't know who's come and gone since they found out about
the initial
infection and the plane. You know, who knows who drank the water and then went on vacation after that.
That's the thing. This is, that's part
airborne,
of it that bothers me the most.
You can't take it out of the air. And I mean, they were so ready to nuke that town at a time where, like, why irradiate the populace and have potential winds blowing that radiation into other population cities when you already have massive napalm technology?
Because
which would have burned the infection out of the air and not been a threat to other populations. Baffling the military.
Because it
was
the 1970s.
So
because it's the 1970s.
Nuclear
and
scare.
They hadn't used it for a while. They just, this toys haven't been used. We need to use them, you know? Yeah. Otherwise, what do we pay for?
Well, and then it sets up a different kind of sequel, too, right? Oh, you go from viral infection to irradiated mutants.
Oh yeah, that's I would
irradiated
love to see
mutant crazies.
Oh yeah, like they were infected and now they're irradiated. That is a different movie, and it would be amazing.
Yeah, didn't it star Will Smith? Didn't we do that in our very first episode?
Yeah, no.
That was the new
they
species.
They do have the same moment where he's getting tested. And it was his child and I Am Legend and his wife, and she's infected. He's not. They do this exact same scene. In the Crazies.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
But she's not really infected. She's pregnant. And I love that because her temperature is elevated because she's pregnant, not because she's sick.
That's another good thing where, you know, now we've got into that cliche of the final girl as well. And rather than have Judy go crazy, because there's plenty of crazies, now we've filled out this town and we have a lot more horror in this movie.
Yeah.
And it really is about surviving in a town where your friends and neighbors are going insane. Yeah, you're dodging the military too, but we're not jumping to the other side of the fence and seeing what's going on their side. They are reacting in a very authoritative manner, and they are going to stamp out this infection as best they can by any means necessary.
And I love
it's really cold
misdirect in the remake where they kind of haul all of the uninfected away from the town. And then drop them off at this truck stop, and you think, okay, well they're protecting the uninfected, right?
Nope.
And then, but they're doing it all very calmly and like it's very organized, right? They're not just shooting people for the sake of shooting people. They're not shooting on first sight. It's not until after there's that the compound in town gets overrun that all of a sudden it becomes this sort of free fire thing where it's like you see somebody, you shoot them. So there's a catalyst in this movie.
They were initially trying to help the town. They were separating. I mean, they're being very cold and calculating about it. I was a little upset that they didn't even try to contact the town authorities and the mayor or whatever. It just happens and everybody's being shoved into these pens and separated from
their
families.
Well, they don't want to give them a heads up.
Yeah.
Because
without any kind of warning.
No, they don't want to give them a heads up because
they want to cover it up.
The other bit about it I don't get. Like, I in my head, I'm like, the uninfected were never going to survive anyway because they know things and they don't want that.
Yeah. And the elevated temperatures was the only way they could test for it. So they were doing the ear test with their thermometers, and Judy being pregnant actually had been having fevers. And it wasn't because of an infection. She just was because of her pregnancy.
You're pregnant.
But they weren't listening.
Oh, no.
Either.
No, they had no interest in listening. Because she could be crazy.
It's column A, column A, column B.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which again shows that was single-mindedness of the military.
Yeah.
Which, again, yeah. They found a different way to do it, but they still did it.
And these guys aren't doctors. They're nothing. They probably don't even know that the temperature goes up when they're pregnant.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and these pens are basically just wire fences, right?
Yeah.
So, and we do have that one moment of the townspeople kind of fighting back. I'm assuming they weren't crazy. That truck that rams the fence is them just...
He's just trying to free his friends.
Trying to free his friends. And, of course, the firefight ensues. But now the barricade's broken. And the people who are being held captive, whether they're insane or not, or on the verge, take that opportunity to run.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it creates a lot of great chaos. I think it works... There's a lot that works a lot better in the remake. They took what Romero was trying to do and made it a lot more entertaining, right? Not as thought-provoking as the first one.
They just made it simpler as it really, this is the viewpoint from the street level. From the town's perspective through these two people.
Yeah, your focus is on the townspeople. Yeah. And the whole thing is you can point out to how... what a mess this whole thing is by the military without spending all this time with the military.
Yeah, they really strip it down, but you still see it from their perspective and how quickly it escalates.
Yep. People get trigger happy right away.
Yeah.
It does not take long. All it takes is one little catalyst and...
Yeah, and then once they realize they can't control the populace, they bug out.
Mm-hmm.
All those helicopters picking up their men. And abandoning their posts and the people who are strapped to their beds. And then that's
just left to die there.
Yeah, with the principal with the pitchfork.
Yes.
Yeah, God.
Yeah,
that scared the crap out of me.
It was pretty creepy, actually. It was one of the creepiest things I've seen in a movie, period.
Well, and it's ironic when he's like just dragging his pitchfork. And I'm like, this is very much like that pyramid head in Silent Hill dragging his big ass sword.
Yes.
Yeah.
And same actress, same situation almost.
Exactly.
It's about intimidation. And it's sort of like, and the worst part is they are stuck tied to these gurneys. And it's because of those assholes. They shouldn't even be there.
Yeah. And you know it's coming. And the ones that are more crazy and not smart enough to keep quiet are getting impaled by him.
It's a tense scene,
gut-wrenching scene.
Yeah, it is. It's very. It really creates great tension. I think that's.
Oh yeah.
Because it's not really horrific. It's just tense.
This is a really bloody film.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did not shy away from showing all the gore and especially with the hunters hunting the people and that truck full of dead bodies.
Oh God.
Just the gore of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great because when our sheriff is he still called David? I can't remember.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still Judy and David, and Russell replaces Clanker because
Clanker's a really terrible name.
It was. I'm like, well, I know it's a nickname, but come on, that was such a 70s thing where somebody had the most ludicrous name.
Yeah, and if it's a nickname, it's a nickname. But yeah, you'll use his real name.
But yeah, where Russell's sort of trying to figure out how to get that truck running, and David's going, get away from that truck because he sees the blood. He's like, there's something wrong. Right. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's got. Like spidey sense. He's like, he gets a little clue and he's like, no, there's something wrong. We need to get clear right now. And that sort of sense of danger for him seems to have got, I guess, listened through a lot of situations in this movie. It's almost like he's sort of tell the future like a few seconds ahead almost. It's like,
yeah, that was one of the earlier scenes. Again, it was still the hunters before we catch back up with them at the truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We see them doing their work throughout the movie.
Yeah, he knows when to do it and when to not do it.
Yeah, he's very aware of his environment.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he's probably has grown up in this town. He's a hunter, and he's always looking. But that's what makes him a good sheriff, is his sense of what's around him and paying attention. Because it does save them a lot of times, except for the one. There's only one point where he seems to get caught off guard. But we'll save that for when they get back to their house, because that's...
We can do it now.
We're kind of jumping all over the place. Yeah, this scene where they're in the nursery there, where he comes in to find out where Judy is.
Yeah.
And she's tied up, and then he gets himself into a whole shitload of trouble.
But you can see why that would be the moment, because she's...
Why do crazy people tie her up and just not kill her?
I don't know.
Because they're trying to bait him, because she's
so, you know,
she's his most vulnerable spot.
Because this is the opening of this movie, David shoots the first infected person comes out to a public baseball game with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And David's smart enough to clear the field right away and try to talk him down. And the guy draws, and David's forced to shoot him and kill him. Yeah. And justifiably so, the family's a little upset about it.
As a note, this is probably the only time you should shoot somebody. Like, if they're not armed, maybe just not shoot them.
Mm. That's something
this is how you do it.
I do like that this film introduces at least some of the major crazies as normal people first. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Before they go insane, and how horribly they go insane.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. And then they look real infected and creepy.
But, yeah, the first infected person's family are at David and Judy's house, yes. And they're in the nursery. They capture Judy, and then they also capture David.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fight ensues, and David's being choked to death. And then the mother stabs him in the hand.
Yeah.
Which we were talking about this during the trailer, how hand wounds seem to make everybody really uncomfortable for some reason. But yeah, the ensuing bit, and I mean, I don't want to hog the story here because everybody should see this movie regardless. But yeah, when he pulls his hand up the blade, yeah, sorry.
Well, yeah, he pulls his hand out the blade and he stabs her
in the neck
with the just grabs her around the throat with the hand and just.
Kills her,
and then pulls the knife out while he's still strangling her.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The thing that
he can't
me.
Get it out because it's like that. That's he's got himself pinned to her neck because of the knife.
Yeah,
because he slid his hand up the blade from the floor to get so they get his back.
That
of his hand
whole gets, scene, I'm thinking like, well, if you weren't infected,
yeah, me too.
I'm like,
well, no, if you weren't naturally immune,
it's a good thing he's immune because
well, they don't establish that really in this movie, right?
Yeah, if he's going to be infected, that
but
would have
it's
been
part
moment.
In this bit where you're talking about how they introduce the real people as are the crazies and how there's always like I say, you're right, it might be impulse control because he's talking to them, and at one point she's got the gun, she's like, this is the gun that killed your father. It looks like he's going to shoot Judy, mm-hmm. and. When he just starts unloading on her, he's like, he I'm glad I killed your husband. I should get a fucking medal. Like, he just, to get
to
her distracted.
Really antagonistic because she's going to do it.
And that works because they are crazy, but there's still something in there that he can talk to.
Yeah, he's appealing to that the impulse that to redirect that impulse, right?
Yeah, that's why it's not a zombie movie.
Exactly.
Yes,
because they are capable of thought.
Yeah, they're just really just. They've lost that ability to not behave like.
Yeah, we actually have that guy who has a very similar scene of the guy who kills his family and then burns the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they find him and he's mowing the lawn while the house is burning and his family's inside.
Well, there was that guy. We do have that picture of the guy mowing the lawn while the hurricane was coming. So lawns are real important, guys.
That's true. People love their yards.
I know. They're willing to die for them.
Yeah, they take that guy to jail, and that's also another sign because they had filed for a transfer and nobody had came.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still there.
Yeah, and he was clearly deteriorating. I mean, he was hemorrhaging and blood everywhere, and they thought he was dead at one point.
And that's when they start realizing something's wrong. They get on the phone. Phone's not working. Get on the internet. That's not working. Cell phone service not working. That's when he realizes we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're alone. They've been cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing now. Like, I kind of like how in this remake, they do address the information quarantine that happens when this type of thing is going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they cut it completely off. And I mean, we were talking about how this is a cover-up because they don't even know that the plane's crashed in the remake, right? In the original, the authorities had communicated that they had lost a plane, but there's nothing to be concerned about. Mm-hmm. In this one, they just completely ignore the fact that plane's crashed and don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Right. And they may take no remedial measures to recover what was in that plane.
Yeah, you would have figured there would have been an immediate arrival to recover that plane before even signs of outbreak.
That would have made sense.
That would have made sense.
It would have made sense, but I think at the whole point they're like, we have to cover this up. We'll take care of the plane. Like it's a saving your own ass sort of scenario. It's not a helping this town scenario.
Well, and of course if they had done the right thing right off the bat, we wouldn't have had all this fun stuff to watch.
True.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that part of it is a commentary on government irresponsibility sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, how they think, oh, this is a great idea. We need a new weapon. Did you think this through?
Oh, we lost the weapon? Oh, well.
Oh, darn.
We'll pretend that that plane didn't crash and it didn't exist. It's safe under that water. Yeah, so...
It reminded me of the one guy where in the first movie where he's talking, I can't get everything right away. I can't snap my fingers and have it going. Yeah, but somebody snapped their fingers and went to zero to shit pretty fucking quickly. You guys can screw things up real fast, but apparently not cleaning them up as quickly.
Yeah, and I mean, one of these things that, I mean, this is a trope in a lot of these outbreak viral infection movies, is they develop these viruses, right, that they've developed, so they should know how to counteract it, but there's always never a cure. There's no way to counteract it.
So why are you transporting something you don't know what the effects are? You know, why would you transfer that to another facility or whatever without where there's a risk of infection?
Well, I think apparently what they've done is what they've said in both movies is they were transporting it to dispose of it in like a special facility that would like burn it and like incinerate it. But at
that
this point,
be on site with your
exactly.
Your,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The incinerator should be the next building over.
Yeah.
And why the fuck did you make so much?
Right.
Like, why so much? But, and the thing is I'm sorry.
Yeah, why
but,
did it require a really big plane?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a huge plane.
It was a huge plane. And I mean, sorry, but if you developed a virus, you know what steps you took to develop it. So you should also, and I know that when biologists are doing studies like that, they are always concurrently working on ways to counteract those viruses to make sure that this shit doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I think, like, I keep thinking of, like, the Resident Evil scenario is, like, if something goes bad, you shut it down. Whoever's working there, sorry, you guys are dead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can't take the chance.
And that's why the Umbrella Corporation does everything underground in these big things, so they can just...
Lock it up, throw away the key.
They're not as successful, obviously, because otherwise... No.
We'd have all those Resident Evil movies.
No. No, because I think in the end, don't they want to go in there and get it? See, this is the other problem. If it's fucked up, don't go in and get it. Try and figure it out again later.
We're getting a reboot of those too.
Ah. Oh my god. But it was the whole thing where they have the aerial shot that made me think of Resident Evil. The aerial shot in the population.
Mm-hmm. I think the approach to this was very much similar to Zack Snyder's approach to the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Mm-hmm.
It really has a very similar pacing and a very similar feel to it.
Yeah, like you're more, it's more intimate on the protagonists. That's
even
your only concern.
Even with the Johnny Cash song.
Yeah.
I mean, different song, but same album.
Exactly. And they do play The Ants Go Marching in both movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fun.
But yeah, I think that, yeah, there's a point in the early to mid 2000s where these really great character driven horror films, where it was about the characters and the horror was something that was happening around them. And it was happening to them to a certain extent as well, but it was about their reaction to this horror rather than our sort of archetypical stalker, horror slasher, stalking these killers and it being sort of from their perspective and their drive to kill. Mm-hmm. It's more about the drive to survive in these movies, and I'm really enjoying that. I really enjoy that type of horror.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I do like the balance of, like, in the crazies where you'll have somebody who becomes, like, monstrous in what they're doing, and others that just become kind of weird and silly. Like the girl on the bike, but there's this little old lady in the pens. Mm-hmm. Did Peter call? Just asking every corpse as she walks by, did Peter call?
Yeah. So yeah. There's these moments that shouldn't be funny but are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is. It's kind of, you think about it, it's really tragic.
Yes.
It was funny in the moment.
But sometimes it made me wonder a little bit while watching it with some of those moments, if it's actually the virus itself or some really advanced form of PTSD where you're just completely dissociated from the actual events themselves and you've just gone insane.
And I mean, that's always actually very likely. But it's left to us to infer what has actually happened, which is again always fun when you're watching a movie. What do you take away from it? Right? Yeah,
I find the remakes less ambiguous with the term crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I can make that question. You know, who are the crazies in the original film? It's a little less so in this one. It's a little more black and white.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, yeah, the crazies are definitely the infected in this. Iteration, because the military calls them the crazies.
Yeah, well, they do in both films,
and then there you have more of the visual, like they're veiny. They don't look like themselves. There is that infected look about them.
Yeah.
Do we want to get to like the big finish?
The napalming of the town?
I'm not sure it was a napalm. Was it napalm?
It was napalm.
Oh, okay.
Or some sort of chemical weapon. They do talk about it as a giant fireball, and there's no hiding in a radiated zone, so...
Yeah, I don't know, because the whole time...
That was in that newscast is where I kind of like, okay, yeah, that wasn't a nuke then.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think they might just say it and just lie about radiation, because they're lying a whole lot.
Well, yeah, gas explosion? Right?
Yeah.
But I kept thinking, I'm like,
They did say it was a chemical explosion as the cover-up excuse of a chemical plant.
The worst part is I kept thinking, like, okay, so she started off this movie pregnant. Not so sure now.
Yeah, she'd been through some shit at that point.
And like, with all the chemicals especially and all the crap that's happened.
Well, especially when the big rig goes flipping.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even that. And, like, if it's a napalm or another chemical bomb.
Yeah.
Poor girl.
Oh, well, and that's just it. The aftershock certainly made me wonder. That was a massive, massive explosion.
Massive. Yeah. And, I mean, even if she does survive it, who's to say that her child is now not, like, an infected carrier... Which could make for a really great follow-up.
Just because she didn't show signs doesn't mean that the kid didn't get infected.
And that's the other thing. Or it might be that whole thing where, like, she's not infected, but her kid is. And it's like they use her to, like, make an antidote. And it's another thing where you're hiding from the military because you're now, like, a quote-unquote asset.
That would take it from being the same old, right? Mm-hmm. But, again, no interest, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not to say that... You know, she wasn't infected. She wasn't showing signs. Some people are carriers. Some people are immune.
Yeah.
So that's why we had that satellite tracking. And Cedar Rapids is the next place to get cordoned off. They already
started. As
they're walking towards
it. Well, they did say after 3 days, if you don't show symptoms, you won't.
Yeah.
What was it? The only other thing that bothered me, in this and the original is, I mean, it's rural. Why are there no horses to get out of town on?
Oh, good point. That is a good point.
Because, I mean, I know in my small town there's a number of horses, and you know who has horses, and you'll go to their house and maybe borrow their horses.
And
you don't need a road.
And their small town was a lot bigger than your small town.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they would. You're absolutely right. There would be horses. At least one of these farms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They lived on a farm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, it didn't look like they had anything going on their farm, but everybody lived on farmland.
Yeah.
In that town. There wasn't a whole lot of actual town.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Just curious.
That's a valid question.
Yes, it is a valid question. Get on your damn horses.
Or an ATV. Yeah. Why were there no ATVs?
And I mean, really, this cop obviously wasn't the smartest. Like, let's go to Cedar Rapids. Why would you go to another population center after what you just been through?
I don't know. Probably because they thought it would be safe. I don't know. You're just going to the next place.
I think they took it on faith that the quarantine efforts had been successful.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess once you've seen your town go up in flames.
Up in flames and the entire population killed.
Yeah.
Don't forget, the entire population ended up being killed. That was because you were led to believe that they were being transported away from the infected area in order to be relocated. But when they get to that truck stop and the hotel and all that stuff, there's nobody there. It's a freaking ghost town.
Yeah.
Right.
And they figure out that
truckloads full of bodies.
And
burned bodies.
They just incinerated everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It was that whole erasing the whole thing, like in The Simpsons with the dome. Just took it off the Google Maps. What town? There's no town. But I don't know. I thought maybe they were going, I would go to like the next, probably go to the next big town because they need supplies. They need water. And trust me, a big town, big city where you get the bottled water, which probably didn't come from in town. Also a good place to hide if any military people are looking for who got away.
True.
Yeah. I mean, even with a population of 120,000, I mean, that's not that large of a city, but it's large enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't nuke one town and then nuke another one and think the populace of the rest of the country's not going to notice.
Oh, I don't know. You can tell people it's fake news.
Saw that coming.
And they'll fucking believe it.
Should have seen that coming.
Sorry. I had to. But the downer ending I loved, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In both.
But the other one, it was just really more overt. You're like, ah, crap.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a Twilight Zone ending where you're just like...
That's it. That's exactly like it. It.
Yeah. Whereas this one's just a downer.
Yeah.
Well, bring on the sequel. Oh, wait, nobody went to see it. No sequel.
I know. And it, like, I think it should have gotten more. It's a more.
Very
good
it's remake.
Good.
It's a very good remake. You know, stripping down and make it a little simpler really worked for the film.
Yeah. Like,
even though it was only 4 minutes shorter.
That's yeah. true.
But I think what they did was they dedicated more of it to those tense moments where they're trying to escape the crazies.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They there's a lot more interesting action in this one.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's plenty of action in the original, but it wasn't interesting. And it was just, I mean, Romero's a good filmmaker, and I don't know what happened to this film, but it just felt choppy and pieced together to me, the whole...
I've felt that way about most Romero films, to be honest, that they're a bit choppy. I didn't dislike the film, though. No. I actually quite enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than I expected to, given the shitty film stock and the shitty yeah. acting and the choppiness of it all.
I liked it,
and
but
the stock footage that he inserted there. And...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I think it's the whole thing. I didn't really consider it choppy. I think it had too many different focuses, and that sort of hurts it in a way. If he'd focused on the scientist, it would have been a different film. Mm. If he just focused on those protagonists,
I didn't feel an investment in anyone in particular, and that was a problem because I never spent a huge amount of time with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, because okay, you didn't really care about David and Judy all that much.
No, I didn't.
No.
Not really.
Yeah, it's just it lacked focus.
Yeah. The remake, I certainly did.
Yeah.
I was very invested in those characters.
I loved both of them. I was like, please.
Yeah. Yeah, please let them both get out because we just already watched the original, so we know that Judy dies in the original.
Yeah.
So you're kind of going, okay, please don't let them follow that part of the original.
Yeah. In fact, in their party, whereas in the original one, everybody's infected except for David,
mm-hmm.
this one, it was Russell. That was it. I mean, we don't know if she was or wasn't.
She dies too early.
I love that ambiguity.
She dies too early where in that mm-hmm. car wash scene where she's pulled out the window with the car wash hose and hung.
Yeah.
Quick and sudden. I'm like, oh.
And no, and it was great because it was ambiguous. It's like, was she really infected or did she just have a cough?
Yeah. Yeah, she was just starting to cough a little bit, and nobody knew. And that was part of the symptoms of Russell become. There was a bit of paranoia in him part of it, as part of his symptoms.
And when you talk about the original versus this, like with Clank in the original, like you say with lack of focus, I was like when he was starting to go off, I'm like just shoot him and leave. But with Russell, I did like Russell, and I was feeling sad that he was starting to go insane. I'm like, oh no. And then when he has that final moment, he's like, can I walk with you guys for a while? I'm like, oh no, Russell.
It was actually really touching.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt sad. And then he sacrifices himself. And then you really feel it with Russell.
Yeah. No, he's a really good person while he's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And when he starts making those bad decisions is when the virus starts taking hold. It becomes pretty tragic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they handled him really well.
Yeah. They gave him depth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they give all the characters, our sort of core characters depth in the remake, which, again, makes you care about them and you want to see them succeed.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't care much about Becky, but we don't really learn a whole hell of a lot about her. You know, her boyfriend's killed pretty quickly. He's dead as fast as they go from they find him.
Yeah, they meet him and he's dead right away.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's a Darwin Award right there.
True. But he's a young kid. He's not thinking.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's a bit of a natural reaction as well. You just see your mom get mowed down.
Yeah, you see your mom murdered? You're not going to...
Well, sorry, but
she wasn't murdered right away. Like, he runs out to try to stop because they are being really rough with her.
Yeah.
And, yeah, as he's getting... comes out, they shoot her and then they shoot him and then they fucking blowtorch him just to be sure.
Yep.
Yeah. It's upsetting.
Yeah. It's not the Krull blowtorch of love this time around. It's
no.
The blowtorch of hate and anger.
Yeah. It's the blowtorch is all in how you wield it, everybody. Do you wield the blowtorch with love or with hate?
What's its goal? Is it to build or destroy?
Blowtorches don't kill people. People kill people.
Nice. Thank you. Brought it all around. Love it.
Yeah, but rule of thumb, don't run towards people with guns.
Yes. Or blowtorches.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if you got your hands up, you're still a hard target.
Yeah. But that did lead to a good sequence where they sweep the rest of the farm, mm-hmm. and they're hiding in the barn and get mm-hmm. that one soldier to not squeal on them. And even he's that one moment where like the soldiers are just doing what they're told,
yeah.
and they're told to wear the gas masks. That's when they figure out this is airborne, and that he didn't sign up to shoot unarmed civilians.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's this also tells you the point where they're just bringing everyone in who's green, because mm-hmm. he looks like he's not seen anything.
He looks like he's 18, 19 years old.
Just a kid.
He's just started.
They take off his gas mask and they're a little like, whoa, you're young.
Yeah, he looks like a child.
Yeah. And the show of faith, too. I love that, the show of faith on David's part when he says, no, he's not going to tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, when I first saw this movie, I was like, oh, God, he's going to screw you. And he doesn't. And I'm like, huh, okay, I have trust issues.
That was a good moment where you actually were like, oh, a little renewal of faith in humanity before everybody goes nuts and insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, this young soldier. And I think I'm like, I kind of want that soldier to have survived, because like he may go far, because he's like, his instincts are at least on point in a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's a human being, mm-hmm. unlike a lot of...
He's not a blind follower of everything. Yeah.
And it really comes down to is these movies are about humanity and losing touch with humanity, whether it's in containing the virus and trying to disconnect from your emotions, or being a victim of the virus, yeah. or reacting to an invasion. It's all about human reaction.
Yeah. And sometimes where survival can take away some of your humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the need to survive can certainly touch your basest instincts.
All right, that's your takeaway, guys.
Yeah. That's today's lesson,
deep
everybody.
Thoughts by Jack Handy. Whoa.
Deep thoughts by Jack Handy. When I'm in a zombie apocalypse, sometimes I think, should I shoot my friend? And then I think, no. And then my friend bites me. And then I think, ah, shit.
Should have shot him.
Roar, 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 Jack Handy.
Thank you for taking that and running with that. With that,
you're welcome. Jack Handy is now a zombie.
You know who else is crazy?
Ooh.
People who don't give us 5 stars on iTunes.
Oh, that's
so crazy. That's so crazy.
And people who don't tell their friends about us.
I know.
Also crazy. You don't want to be confused as crazy, do you?
No.
I think maybe you should hop on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and write us a short review. Because how else will people know you're not crazy?
Exactly. Don't be a bad virus. Be a good virus. And spread us amongst everyone you know.
Yes, help us go viral like Trixie.
Which we didn't talk about the name.
Yeah.
The horrible, horrible name for this virus in both
that they kept.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
Yes.
I was trying to find out. I'm like, I don't know why they named it Trixie.
It should have been like an acronym, but I couldn't figure out what it could be.
No.
No. And that's all needs to be said about it. It was just stupid.
I think it was supposed to be a joke in that such a virulent, horrible virus had such a stupid name.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, nobody's afraid of a virus called Trixie. Oh, that can't be so bad. the virus called Doom Apocalypse? Yeah, I'm scared of that one.
Oh, exactly. Oh, no, we just...
And that just turns people into bunnies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one just makes everybody, you know, scrunch their nose and twitch.
Yeah, they're all furry. They have long ears, soft hair.
I mean,
and now we're talking about Tank Girl, aren't we? No, it's kangaroos.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. Those kangaroos. They're different. They can hurt you bad.
Also, if you're not crazy, hop on our social media.
Yeah.
Tell us any corrections, suggestions, comments.
Ooh, do you know what Trixie means?
Do you know what Trixie means? Yeah, what did you think about this movie? You know, tell us. We'll listen. You can write us in short bursts over on Twitter, Invasion Remake, or longer form over on our Facebook page. Of course, that's Invasion of the Remake. You got to like that. Go just hit that like button. InvasionOfTheRemake@gmail.com if you want to email us.
Exactly.
We also take your
challenges.
We'll take a look at challenges, and when one piques our interest, we will do it on a future episode. So if you got suggestions of movies you want us to remake, we will tackle them and hold you to task. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to make fun of you on the air for it. So, you want to be part of the show, that's a good way to do it.
We will in the nicest way.
Yes, as long as you can take our schlacking in good fun.
Exactly. We will judge you. But oh, yeah. Sometimes it might, we never know. Okay, we've had some pretty harrowing challenges, yes. But we might have like a really
self-imposed.
True.
Yes.
But we might have a really wonderful one where the challenge will be like, oh my God, how did we not know about this movie before? So we exactly. could have a good one, right?
Exactly. It doesn't have to be the most insane thing, but you know, give us a suggestion because, you know, we don't know, we can't think of everything. So
yeah, there's a lot of obscure stuff that we are not even aware of and you can yeah. help us.
And we'll stumble across them once in a while, like the Asphyx episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could use some suggestions on your end as well, so.
Yeah. What do you like to hear us talk about, too? Like,
yes. What are your favorite episodes? I mean, based on my numbers, I have no idea still.
We don't know what you want.
I mean, there are ones I think are going to hit really big, don't do squat all, and then there are ones that I'm like, I don't always know what this is, do really well. And then sometimes the opposite is true, so I have no idea.
Help us. Communication is the key to every good relationship.
Really?
So, at the end of the day, we're going to continue doing what we like doing until we hear from you.
And we hope that you are enjoying it. Obviously, you are because you're listening.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can tell your friends how to find the show. We're on iTunes, Libsyn, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher.
Player FM, Blueberry. We've got it on Libsyn. You got Libsyn?
Yep. Lots of places. You know, you can do a Google search. We're first couple pages. We're on so many platforms. You're actively trying to not find us. So
yeah,
or maybe down the list lots.
Are you ignoring us?
Use the search bar. Use the search bar. Tell your friends just to use the search bar and recommend the show. Mm-hmm. We just had a gentleman who joined our Facebook and gave us a shout out and recommended it to us to a friend on his page.
Nice.
And I want to see more of that as well. So if you like a particular episode, just tag it to your friends. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Exactly. Show us some love. We'll show you some love. It'll be great.
That's right.
I have to say that comment it felt almost like a backhanded insult or a compliment. Did you read it? He was talking about how he could do a podcast about something. He says,
I know, right?
He could do a podcast about anything.
I'm like, that was a little backhanded compliment, but I'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and like I said, I wasn't offended, but I'm like,
it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But I'm like, yep, you can. We've proved it.
Yes.
Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
And ass kicked all the way.
Were you reading my mind? I was just about to say that, too.
Nice.
Am I married to two women now?
I don't know. No, I'm your podcast wife.
My podcast wife? Okay, good. Because, I don't know if I can handle two full-time
wives.
Oh, no,
she's in a podcast threesome.
I'm in a podcast poly. I'm a poly podcast relationship. I don't know how you'd...
Polyamorcast?
Well...
It's a polyamorcast. There we go.
Polyamorcast.
Yeah, I do love you guys. So sure.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, when you start reading my mind, you know, that's...
I get jealous when you're in the room alone.
Yeah. we can't be left alone. But yeah, no, we all need each other. This is a full-on relationship. It's good.
There you go.
Oh, the places we'll go.
Yeah. And we are definitely encroaching on our 100th episode here. Woo-hoo. We're not too far away now. What is it? I think this is 95 that we just recorded here. So not too much longer. And we're going to be amping up. And these next few are going to be movies you're familiar with.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're going to make sure that we're amping up some steam before we hit some more obscure ones later on.
Exactly.
Yeah, go back to our preferred format of finding weird shit you've never heard of.
Yep.
And then suffering through it.
And hey, guys, I noticed not a lot of you listened to the Crawling Eye episode, at least on the podcast side of things. You YouTube guys are all over it.
Exactly.
So weird. But come on, give that one a try. It's a really fun episode.
Oh, for sure.
If you liked things like the Monolith Monsters,
Curling Eye.
Yeah, you're going to like that episode. So go check that one out. It needs a little more love. Although the YouTube guys, you're loving it. So thanks.
Nice.
You're justifying why I opened that.
All right.
because I was very hesitant to do the YouTube stuff. But yeah, there's some episodes the YouTube just they don't give a shit about, and then things like the Abigail episode do really well over there. So
I never love that one.
I never know what people are gonna like, so I'm just gonna do the movies I like or exactly. don't. I don't know. We're taking the hit for you because we've done a lot we don't like.
Yeah,
but we do find ways to try and make it into something we do like.
True. Yes, very true.
And that's the magic of the show.
And we get to do that again next week. So join us next week. And until then, I'm not crazy. I'm pretty sure I'm Jason.
I'm still always Sam.
I might be marginally mentally unstable, Trish.
And we are out of here.
Never coming back.